Welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Koslovich. You probably don't like mosquitoes any more than we do, and when they're around, you'd probably like them to just go away. Making them disappear is part of the work of researchers working to produce a genome-edited variety of the bugs to make them sterile. But there is concern over releasing these and other organisms that have been produced through synthetic biology, particularly in Hawaii's Living Lab of Diversity. J.D. Hansen is the senior policy analyst for the Center for Food Safety. He's in Hawaii this week and in our studio with us today. Welcome.
Aloha. Nice to be here.
When we talk about having pests and other things that we deem as not desirable, there seems to be this knee-jerk reaction to say, well, can we possibly find a way of getting rid of them? You don't seem to be saying that there's a problem with that idea, but more that there could be some serious consequences from how that idea starts to happen and what happens if it's released into the wild. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. We're echoing what the National Academy of Science study on gene-edited techniques said last year. It said that there are many uses for these techniques, but right now, until we do good work to understand what's going to happen when they're released out into the wild, they should be kept in the lab.
You seem to be also pointing us in the direction of a precautionary principle that the United States, in many ways, doesn't necessarily seem to ascribe to.
Well, we don't always prescribe to it in that terminology. The Clean Air Act is written with precautionary principles. Most of our health law is written with precautions built into it. So the precautions are really about how do we do something so it doesn't make things worse. And, you know, that's as American as the 4th of July.
Some of how that could either be helpful or be deleterious to our environment, maybe things that we don't even know because they're not necessarily being looked at. When you talk about an organism like a mosquito that's being made sterile and then would potentially be released into the wild, well, there are other organisms that might eat that mosquito, and we wouldn't necessarily have information about what that might mean unless we were to be able to study it.
Yeah.
That takes a great deal more time than it seems that some would like to offer.
Well, there are two kinds of science we're talking about. One is production science. That's how to make a new kind of mosquito. The other is assessment science. That's how to do the ecological work to understand what happens when you release it into the environment. Part of that work is comparing it to its alternatives. What very often happens, and the reason our organization actually sues government agencies, is because they don't do the next step, which is comparing other alternatives.
So in this case with the mosquitoes and the talk of potentially releasing these into Hawaii's environment, which many say is fragile and that we've seen diversity build over time and don't necessarily know what that effect would be on our environment, there are those who are saying, wait a minute, we need to see something greater with those mosquitoes and testing. How would you test those, and what tests are currently going on now, say, in other places in California and Florida?
Well, one of the things that's happening right now is a company based in Kentucky has figured out how to infect mosquitoes with the bacteria that causes them to become sterile. This is sort of the organic approach to genetically engineering mosquitoes, and they are undergoing trials in the Central Valley of California and Florida right now. So one of the things you would want to compare these gene-edited mosquitoes to is these Wolbachia bacteria-infected mosquitoes. But there are other things that you would want to do as well, looking at other strategies for reducing how the mosquitoes breed.
So in practical terms, how would you compare this population that you've created and released only in a limited lab, say,
right,
to what this might do in the wild?
Well, it's tough, but one of the things that you want to do is have a lot more understanding of mosquitoes as organisms. We've been looking at fruit flies in the lab forever to understand the genetics of them. Mosquitoes are even different from fruit flies, and we're just starting to understand their genetics and really don't fully understand their ecology. We have recommended that the federal government transfer all of its assessment of mosquitoes to the Environmental Protection Agency because they have a lot of insect specialists, unlike other agencies.
If those entomologists were to be able to look at all this information and produce something that would be enough to take the trial to the next step, what would that enough look like to you?
Well, I think, the enough would look like a lot of data on what the on how the mosquito is going to, transmit or stop transmitting, in this case, diseases like bird malaria. We're going to look at what other organisms have begun to eat them in Hawaii. None of these mosquitoes are native to Hawaii, but they've been here 150 years, and they're eaten by organisms, so we'd want to see data that show what the effect on eliminating this from the food sources of these creatures are. And we'd also want to see what, because we're going to be having millions of mosquitoes die, we want to know what happened, which organisms eat the dead and dying mosquitoes.
And presumably what effects that would have,
yes,
on those organisms. Meanwhile, there are other species that are threatened. You mentioned the birds and malaria and the impulse to try to protect that. What is a place that you see, at least right now, as being an effective compromise, or is there not one?
Well, right now, I mentioned infecting mosquitoes with this bacteria, and it's not just being done in California and Florida. It's been done rather successfully in Australia, funded by the Gates Foundation, among other things. So, again, even with Wolbachia, before you release it in Hawaii, you would want to make sure that it doesn't mess up things here. We're not the same as Fresno, California. We're not the same as Queensland, Australia. So we need to understand what happens with that mosquito, just like we would need to understand what happens to a genetically engineered mosquito.
In the talks surrounding releasing these mosquitoes in Hawaii, have you had some active conversation with the state?
Some, mostly email with people from Department of DNLR folks. But I've been over visiting the lab of Floyd Reed, who's been doing both kinds of mosquito manufacture, both the Wolbachia and previously he did genetically engineered mosquitoes.
So where does this leave us now if there seem to be some receptivity to your questions and your queries, but clearly we're watching this research continue?
Well, what we don't want to have are poor environmental assessments being done. There was genetically engineered mosquitoes supposed to be released in Florida, and we and a coalition in Florida got it stopped because the company owned by a billionaire didn't spend the money to do good environmental assessment, just spent the money on the promotion of it and basically trying to use advertising to convince people that it was safe rather than do the research to show it.
Is there a reliable environmental assessment that you know about concerning the mosquitoes in Hawaii?
Not yet, no.
So that would be the next step,
yeah,
as far as you're concerned?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll wait and see if that happens. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you, and mahalo.
J.D. Henson is a senior policy analyst for the Center for Food Safety. His focus is emerging tech related to nanotechnology, synthetic biology, and animal cloning and animal genetic engineering. He also works for the center's sister agency, the International Center for Technology Assessment, where he directs their work on similar issues, including human genetics. He'll speak at a free event tomorrow in Kaka'ako, hosted by Hawaii Seed and the Hawaii Center for Food Safety. Details are on our Facebook page, The Conversation.